Good morning, St. Luke's. Welcome to the second Sunday in Easter. Here are the announcements. We have a fair amount going on around the virtual church. Daughters of the King and Resource Navigators both met last week, and there are notes from what they talked about in their meetings, both in your email newsletter this week and also in the bulletin announcements, if you'd like to check that out. In particular, I would like to call your attention to the fact that the Personal Care Pantry has asked St. Luke's to particularly provide toothpaste. So if you can help out with that, we would really appreciate it. Rather than dropping any donations off at the church, please call the church and we'll arrange to pick them up or get them somehow. So thank you very much if you can help out. Both of our book studies are continuing over Zoom, so Monday night and Wednesday afternoons. Virtual peace gatherings are still going on Sunday afternoons, so you can tune in this afternoon at 1 or Wednesday nights. And there's information on how you can join those meetings if you would like. It's a casual gathering just so we can check in with each other and make sure everybody's doing okay. And then the last one is Vestry meets this Monday night at 6. So it's a pretty normal week at St. Luke's. All things considered, that's pretty remarkable and amazing. This morning, we would like to welcome the Reverend Julie Weiss as our preacher and thank Julie for being with us. I'm going to put a link to Julie's Facebook page in the announcements and in the notes of this posting. She posts some Compline prayers and some other things that might be of interest to you, so you can check that out if you want. And just want to say thank you to Julie for being with us this morning, and we look forward to being able to meet you in person someday, but thank you for being with us in voice and in spirit this morning. And that's it. Happy second Sunday in Easter. Send out your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal Mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by faith. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Acts 2:14a, 22 through 32. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. You that are Israelites, listen to what I have to say. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with deeds of power, wonders, and signs that God did through him among you, as you yourselves know, this man handed over to you according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of those outside the law. But God raised him up, having freed him from death, because it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says concerning him, I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my flesh will live in hope, for you will not abandon my soul to Hades, nor let your Holy One experience corruption. You have made known to me the ways of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Fellow Israelites, I may say to you confidently of our ancestor David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Since he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would put one of his descendants on his throne. Foreseeing this, David spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, saying, He was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh experience corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that all of us are witnesses. Thanks be to God.
Psalm 16.
Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you. I have said to the Lord, You are my Lord.
My good above all other.
All my delight is upon the godly that are in the land, upon those who are noble among the people. But those who run after other gods shall have their troubles multiplied. Their libations of blood I will not offer, nor take the names of their gods upon my lips.
O Lord, you are my portion and my cup.
It is you who uphold my lot. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land.
Indeed, I have a goodly heritage.
I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel.
My heart teaches me night after night.
I have set the Lord always before me.
Because he is at my right hand, and I shall never, and I shall not fall.
My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices.
My body also shall rest in hope.
For you will not abandon me to the grave, nor let your Holy One see the pit.
You will show me the path of life.
In your presence there is fullness of joy, and in your right hand are pleasures forevermore.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
My friends, this is the Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish authorities, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As thy Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. May the words of my mouth be the words that God wishes to have you hear, and may the Spirit intercede when I speak my own. Amen. Good morning, friends at St. Luke's. This is the second week of Easter. It's the fifth week of our new reality. And I will admit that preaching to a screen, and in this case, doing worship via audio, is not the same as getting to see your faces, seeing your smiles, hearing your chuckles, seeing your nods, or even when you nod off. But it is a pleasure nonetheless to have the opportunity to be with you even in this way. So we find ourselves this week in a similar place as those first disciples. Many of us find ourselves locked inside of our own upper rooms, fearful. Others of us find ourselves outside the room, doing those things which were essential, as Thomas must have been. I will be honest. I have never understood the setting of this gospel better than I do now. I wish I could see your faces to know if what I am saying is resonating, but I suspect that for some of you it is. We spent several weeks in our Lenten desert of personal reflection and repentance, and then we came to Holy Week, and we still found ourselves in a different reality. Many of us worked very hard to make this Holy Week useful, helpful, but I'm guessing for most of us, it will just be memorable at least. We built our own home altars. Some of us ate agape meals and prayed the Stations of the Crosses in our home. We were reminded that we are the church and that the church is not the building, as special as our buildings are to all of us. And then came Easter. Many virtually worshiped together with the bishop at the cathedral. Others joined the National Cathedral. And still others worshiped in small communities virtually around the country. I can't help but think that in this messiness and distance and confusion in the time like this, that we are actually much closer to what it must have felt like on that first Easter. After all, Jesus, their prophet, leader, mentor, and friend, had been killed. Just 2 weeks ago, they thought that their procession into Jerusalem with him was going to start a revolution. Instead, the worst happened. Last Sunday, we heard that Jesus was no longer in the tomb, and Mary worried that someone had stolen his body. "Where have you put him?" she asked the guard. Then she meets the risen Lord, and she only recognizes him when he calls her name. She goes to tell the other disciples that he will meet them in Galilee. Those first disciples were on a crazy whirlwind of emotions, I am sure. The Jewish authorities were looking to find and destroy them, and they were afraid. They hid in their only safe space, a home, locked behind a door, praying that they would be safe. This doesn't sound much like the Easter good news, does it? All this fear and pain and death. But just like the cross was not the end of the story, neither is the disciples huddled in the upper room. Jesus came to them. Jesus appeared in the midst of them. He did not need someone to open the locked door and risk their safety. He simply appeared. And what does he say to them? "Peace be with you." But this is not a peace that is a stagnant peace. This is a peace with a purpose. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. Jesus wastes no time in fear, but instead he, the risen Savior, breathes on them, reminiscent of when God breathed on creation in the beginning. Jesus breathes a Holy Spirit on the people and pronounces that they now have the power to forgive and retain sins. This must have been a surreal moment. A moment, fear and worry, and then the next moment, empowerment by the risen Lord with the Holy Spirit. That must have been quite a transformation for all who were present. But then we have Thomas. And I will be honest, I think Thomas often gets a bad rap. Thomas was not in that room. Thomas did not hear or see the risen Jesus. He did not lay eyes on the nail marks in his hands or see the mark in his side. He didn't hear Jesus say peace, and he didn't have the Spirit breathed upon him. The others present had, and they told Thomas about that experience. Friends, how many of you have heard a story of something that occurred to someone else and not quite been able to grasp it? How many of you were told about Jesus' love before you actually experienced it? it's not the same. And for Thomas, he wanted to see, hear, smell, touch, experience in order to believe. And yet we call him doubting. When Mary ran back to tell the disciples what she had seen, does it appear that they believed her? They were all locked in an upper room, afraid. To me, this story is less about Thomas doubting and more about Jesus and his willingness to provide for his followers in a way that they need. When Thomas is with the other disciples a week later, still locked away in an upper room, keeping safe, Jesus again appears. He doesn't ridicule or demean Thomas. Instead, he invites him into an experience that Thomas needs in order to believe. He offers his hands and his side for Thomas to touch, inviting him not to doubt, but to believe. Interestingly, the gospel doesn't tell us if Thomas took Jesus up on the offer to touch him or not. But what we know is that in this meeting of Jesus, Thomas's response of faith is profoundly complete. My Lord and my God. Many times the first-hand experience is what we need. And if we look carefully, we often can see and we can know. Jesus is quoted as saying that those of us who have not had the direct human-to-human interaction with the risen Lord and yet believe are blessed. It is not the human-to-human interaction that we must rely upon, but I do still believe that Jesus makes himself seen and known in the work of others and in the world around us. But we must have eyes to see and hearts that are open to those interactions. Friends, during this uncertain, painful, and stressful time, when we too might feel like we are locked away in an upper room, I invite you to see the risen Lord in your midst. I invite you to feel the breath of the Holy Spirit and be renewed in your faith. And once you are, I invite you to profess, my Lord and my God. Amen.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made, for us and for our salvation. He came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary. He was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The prayers of the people, we will use Form 4, found on page 388. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world.
Amen.
Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations to the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources wisely in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We remember especially Teresa and her family. Who is on your heart this morning? Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. We remember especially Roma. We pray for the repose of her soul. Who is on your heart this morning? Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Almighty God, by your Holy Spirit, you have made us one with your saints in heaven and on earth. Grant that in our earthly pilgrimage, we may always be supported by this fellowship of love and prayer, and know ourselves to be surrounded by your witness to your power and mercy. We ask this for the sake of Jesus Christ, in whom all our intercessions are acceptable through the Spirit, and who lives and reigns forever and ever.
Amen.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.